Cancer. It's different in a
And good morning, everybody. God bless. How are you this morning on this January 17th, year of our Lord, 2024? And we are back worshiping together on this beautiful Monday morning. Thank you very much. I hope you all had a great Father's Day. I hope that you got to, if your dads are still around, I hope you got to be with your dads. If you are a dad, I hope that you had the best time with your children. And if your children are far away and you didn't get to be there physically with them, then I pray that you were able to, you know, see them on FaceTime or call them or text them or anything. It's very, very, very important as a father to be able to always be there for their kids and for their kids to know that their father is always going to be there for them. And I'll tell you what, my Father in heaven is always there for me. And my Father on earth was there for me yesterday as well. Jeremy, can you give a shout out to my son's 25th birthday? He celebrated deployed near Ukraine. Well, I don't know your son's name, but please tell him happy birthday, Katia 76. I hope he had a great day. I know he's probably has better birthdays in his mind than the one that he just had. You know, as long as we're alive, right? Loved the picture of you and your dad, Jeremy. Well, thank you very much. Amanda, we did not have a great day. Well, I am so sorry to hear that for you, Amanda, and for Caden. I really am. It hurts my heart to hear that. Good morning, Lord Fishy. Good morning, Meemaw Becky. Good morning, L. Dooley. Good morning, Moose for Trump. Good to see you. Love the photo of you and your dad. Well, thank you so very much. T. Mitchell said, nope, my dad and Phil are in heaven. Well, we're going to be talking about heaven today. So I'm glad that you guys are all here this morning. Let's just get right into it, folks. Sorry you did not get a morning newsletter today. For some reason, I'm having trouble getting into my computer. Did one of those updates, you know, over the weekend. And when your computer does an update, it sometimes like loses all your automatic settings and sign-ins and all that stuff like that. So we'll get back into it this afternoon. I just didn't have time to get into it this morning. Kittenhead said, Jeremy, where can I look at these pictures without going on Facebook? Well, I don't have Facebook. My pictures are posted on Instagram. I only have my personal Instagram account is the only, outside of like Getter and True Social and things like that, it's my only personal account that I have. So, yeah, I got to spend Father's Day with my father for the first time ever. I'm 44 years old, and I got to spend Father's Day with my dad. And it was awesome. It was awesome. But I got to tell you something, folks. As awesome as it is, or was yesterday, to spend time with my father and his, and we're making the most of it. Like, we're having dinner again on Wednesday. He's about an hour away, and, you know, it's better than 20 hours away, right? Like I've always been from him. So it was really a great day. But I was sitting here thinking about it last night, and I was reading my Father's Day cards from my kids, and of course I was crying. Jeremy, did Sabrina get the coffee order in yet? We're not shipping anything out until July. We're not shipping anything out until July. The store is closed until July. So if you go to my website, jeremyharrell.com, you'll be able to see that the store is closed until sometime in July. So I'm sitting there and I'm reading my Father's Day cards last night. And I'm crying, obviously, because as you get to this age and you prioritize everything, you start to see the greatness in all of the things that you take for granted your whole life. And as I'm reading these Father's Day cards yesterday, I started thinking about God And I started praying. And I didn't really want to talk to God. It's not that I didn't want to. I wanted God to talk to me yesterday. And I started thinking about the times that I pray. And when I pray, 9 times out of 10, I've got a lot to say to God, right? I want to talk to him about what's going on in my life. I want to ask him for guidance. I want to thank him for all the wonderful things that he does for me. And I don't really ever take the time to listen back. At least I go to him. Some people don't even go to him throughout the day, and they maybe just go to him before they eat. I go to him more than that, but I really wanted some time, some moment last night to listen back. And I want to play a video for you here, but let's get to prayer first, and then I'll play a video for you. But I realized while I was listening to God that as great as it is to be with my dad again, nothing in the world compares to the fact that God's with me every single day. Like, I love my dad, and it was the greatest thing to be able to hug my earthly father. But when it was said and done and my earthly father left and went home, my heavenly father was still there. And I know he smiled and his heart was warmed, God's, seeing me be able to be with my earthly father. But in the end, when my dad left, it was me and God once again. And he's never been 1,200 miles apart. He's never been 20 hours apart. He's always been right there. And I find such a comfort with my heavenly father that even though I found such a comfort in my earthly father yesterday, it doesn't even close to compare. And I didn't ever really have anything to compare to. And yesterday, I did. But you want to know the greatest part about it is now I have two fathers in my life. I have two fathers that I can go to in my life for help, for guidance, for love, for emotion, for whatever it is. And I just wanted to share that with you guys this morning. So let's go to prayer, and then I want to play a video for you, okay? And I'll show you guys the picture that I took with my dad yesterday for all of those who don't have Instagram or who don't follow me, okay? Lord and Heavenly Father, today I want to talk about new adventures. Today I want to talk about what it's going to be like for us in heaven with you. Yesterday, I was reunited with my earthly father. And I don't feel like me going to heaven will be reunited with you. I feel like you're with me now. But to be able to be with you physically, like I was with my earthly father yesterday, and to know what's going to be happening in heaven, makes it so that I don't fear death. Makes it so that I don't fear leaving this world at all. Because we only fear and are curious about the unknown, but we already know what it's going to be like in heaven. We know for sure every morsel of what it's going to be like in heaven, from our duties to our jobs, to eating, to dancing, to singing, to worshiping, to recognizing all of that. And today I want to talk about that. Today I want to talk about what it's going to be like for us in heaven in that new adventure that'll be for eternity. And Lord, today I pray that all those that are watching and listening really get what they need today out of listening to your word, the gospel, through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, through these airwaves, into their homes and into their hearts. Lord, we thank you for those who were able to be reunited with family. Lord, we pray for those who don't have their fathers in their life anymore. But there is no greater feeling than to know that we do have a relationship with you no matter where our earthly fathers are. And if we have our earthly fathers, it's just a blessing and a bonus. Lord, thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All righty, folks. I have a video to play for you. Let's pop on the headphones here. Majorva says, draw comfort from your memories that you made with your dad. You will see your real father one day, and what a beautiful time it will be praying for all who are missing their dads. Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we have 1,200 people watching, 20 minutes past the hour. If you are just signing in, or if you've not even signed into your Rumble profile, please do that now. Make sure that you can give a like. Make sure that you can Rumble this video, share it out, and make sure that you can comment in the live section, like Joe Bo, who just donated $5. Tied for Jesus. Is there anybody better to donate to, or any work better to donate to than that of which is going to use that to go and spread the gospel? No, there isn't. It's not even an argument. Doing things for God is the greatest thing on earth that we could ever be exposed to. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to show you this video. It really hit me when I watched this Friday night after work. And I said, oh, I got to save this. I got to show this to the LFA family. I'm going to play it twice. Everybody should get the reference right away. But sometimes it might take you a couple times to watch something, to understand a reference. What you're about to see, I'm going to put it on the screen here. That's Jesus sitting in a restaurant waiting for you, his friend, to come and have a dinner with him or a breakfast or whatever. Watch this.
Be here soon and we can have some coffee.
Jesus, you're early. Ready to order yet?
No, I'm afraid not. Waiting for a friend.
Uh-huh, okay.
He's at work now. Maybe he'll come for lunch. He'll for sure come after work.
Here you are.
I've been waiting all day for you. I've missed...
Jesus. Hey, yeah, work's super stressful. Speaking of, can you, you know, help with this project at work? I'm still stuck between buying a house or staying in the apartment. So if you can help with that decision, it will mean a lot to me. Oh, and by the way, the girl at church? Yeah, you know, I really like her. So if it's your will and everything, make things go smoothly.
And heal the poor, help the sick and stuff. Okay, gotta get up early for work. It was good talking to you. See you tomorrow. Our Father who art in heaven, I'll be the name of the king.
One more time.
Same time tomorrow?
Yep. He'll be here soon and we can have some coffee.
Jesus, you're early. Ready to order yet?
No, I'm afraid not. Waiting for a friend.
Uh-huh, okay.
He's at work now. Maybe he'll come for lunch. He'll for sure come after work.
Here you are.
I've been waiting all day for you. I've missed...
Jesus. Hey, yeah, work's super stressful. Speaking of, can you, you know, help with this project at work? I'm still stuck between buying a house or staying in the apartment. So if you can help with that decision, it will mean a lot to me. Oh, and by the way, the girl at church? Yeah, you know, I really like her. So if it's your will and everything, make things go smoothly.
And heal the poor, help the sick and stuff. Okay, gotta get up early for work.
It was good talking to you. See you tomorrow. Our Father who art in heaven, I'll be the name of the king. Amen. Same time tomorrow?
Yep.
The caption of that video reads this: a relationship with God must begin and develop in mutual freedom. If you look at the relationship in terms of a mutual relationship, you will see that God could complain about us a great deal more than we can complain about him. We complain that he does not make himself present to us for the few minutes that we reserve for him. But what about the 23 and a half hours during which God may be knocking at our door and we answer with, I am busy, I'm sorry, or when we do not answer at all because we don't even hear the knock at the door of our heart, of our minds, and of our conscience, and of our life. So there is a situation where we have no right to complain of the absence of God because we are a great deal more absent than he ever is. And I saw that Friday after work. So when I sat down, or when I got on my knees yesterday by my bed at the end of the day, and I read my Father's Day cards from my kids, and I reached out to God and wished him a happy Father's Day as well, I just wanted to pray, but not speak. That's what I meant by that. I wanted to pray and just listen. And do you know what happened when I did that? I'm going to give you the God's honest truth right now. My phone went off twice, and my wife walked in to get something and said, oops, I forgot something downstairs, went back out and shut the door again. So I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, I'm always the one talking. I'm always the one asking. I'm always the one asking for guidance or something. And I never just listen to you, not as much as I should anyway. And I know you probably want to speak. I know you probably want to say something. Just like that video. So I waited and I said, please talk to me. And my phone went off twice to try to distract me. My wife walked in, not because she meant to distract me, but because Satan used that as an opportunity to distract me. And when I kept on listening, and I didn't grab my phone, and I didn't acknowledge my wife, do you know what God said to me? Do you know what he showed me? He showed me the moments of that day with my family. That's what God showed me. I was trying to empty my mind. I was trying to open my heart. I was trying to just completely be quiet, open, and free. And God said, look at that moment today with your dad. Look at that moment today with your daughter. Look at that moment today with your wife. That's heaven. That's heaven, what you experienced today. And you allowed me, God, the creator of all things, to be a part of your Memorial Day, right? And I remembered one thing in particular just right now. Remember when I told you that God was sending me out here for the low-hanging fruit? Well, let me tell you what happened. Yesterday, my dad was there. His wife was there. I guess my stepmother at this point. They married not too long ago, so it's kind of weird to call her my stepmother when I was 40-something when they married. And my sister was there. Now, my sister has two kids that need guidance because they've split, her and her husband split, and the father is just trash. They need male role model guidance, and they are, like, my nephew is a couple years younger than my son, Jaden, and he's clinging to my son, Jaden. My niece is clinging to my daughter, Lily. And we got to pray because, you know, we pray at our house. They don't pray. But do you want to know something great? They didn't dig into eating because they knew we prayed. They didn't dig into their meals because they knew that we were a godly family. And they knew that we more than likely prayed before our meal. And I got to pray with my dad yesterday. I got to sit next to my heavenly father and pray. I mean, I get to sit next to my earthly father, excuse me, and pray to my heavenly father. And my nieces and nephews are still asking about God. And now my nephew wants an Armor of God shirt and hat, which he's getting on Wednesday when he comes to spend the night. You understand that for the first time in 44 years. Now, I know that that's not, some people have not seen their father ever in their whole life. But for the first time in 44 years, I got to pray to my heavenly father with my earthly father. So when I asked God to talk to me yesterday, that's what he revealed to me. He said, I don't have much to say today. Except for this. You want to know what heaven is going to be like? You're going to be with your family. You're going to be with your friends. You're going to recognize everyone you ever knew. You're going to have so many new friends, you won't even be able to count them. No, you will not be an angel. The Bible clearly states that we are different than angels, but the angels will be in heaven in an innumerable, you won't even be able to count them. And yesterday God said, what you experienced today, because you allowed me to be a part of it, was a glimpse of heaven. So, today, I wrote down a bunch of verses. It's kind of good that I couldn't get into my verse of the day email today, because I would have had like 10 verses for you to look at. It is a beautiful story, isn't it? It is a beautiful story. And on top of everything else, my mom was talking to me. Yes, the same nephew that wanted the cross necklace. Yep. I think my computer died here, folks. That's all right. That's all right. I can read it up there. And my mother was texting throughout the day asking for pictures of me and my dad. My mother. So I sent her pictures of me and my father. And she was so incredibly happy for me. And so grateful. So I'm going to pull up a picture of me and my dad here for you. Ready? There it is, folks. There's the picture of me and my dad. My dad had a beard. How, man, we'd look exactly alike, huh? Same eyes, same color eyes, same smile, same fat cheeks, right? What a wonderful, wonderful picture with my dad. And like I said in the comment, my first Father's Day in 44 years with my dad. So everybody, that's the picture of my dad. Now I'm crying, says Danes. Yeah, I know. I did too. And my mom wanting a picture of it, I mean, come on. I mean, that's like me being a kid and my mom and dad still together. You know what I mean? So, you know, for me, it was a very special day. And it actually, like my daughter, my daughter Shaylin, who's going back to New Hampshire in a couple weeks, she wrote me this letter to yesterday that I was reading. And I know being away from my father, what it was like, and she's going to be away from me now. And it was like, oh, man. Oh, man. Man, do you have one with Jaden too? Well, I have a whole family picture of all of us, not just with me, Jaden, and my dad. We'll get one on Wednesday when we're together having dinner again. So, new adventures. That's what I'm on right now. That's what we titled the show today. Let's talk about new adventures. What will we do in heaven? A lot of people have asked that question. A lot of people say, wow, heaven sounds boring, Jeremy. Yeah, and I've heard this before from a lot of people. Don't get me wrong. A lot of people have said to me, heaven sounds a little boring. It sounds like just worshiping all the time. Like, sounds like it'd be nice if we did other things. And I'm like, first of all, heaven is not going to be boring. Heaven is not going to be boring at all. You're not going to have any sickness. Yeah, you'll be worshiping and singing, but you'll have jobs. You'll have duties. You'll have fun. You'll be feasting, singing, working, hanging out, being with loved ones. And you're going to have a numerous amount of new friends in heaven. First Thessalonians. Chapter 2, verse 19, 18, 19, 20, that whole area in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, it references that we will recognize each other. We will recognize each other, but we won't have the same emotional attachment to that person that we recognize in heaven the same way we did on Earth. You know how you and I feel a lot closer than you and a lot of your family members? It's going to be like that times a billion. So people that you recognize, you will have an emotional attachment with them. But it won't be the same emotional attachment that we have here. It won't be like, you're my mother, or you're my son or my daughter, and I have a role to play. It'll be like the emotional attachment that you and I have, but just a lot more. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. My son will be my brother in Christ. My father will be my brother in Christ. My mother will be my sister in Christ. We no longer have that family hierarchy that we have here. We won't need it. God fulfills everything that we need. I can't wait to see my mom again and meet my brother who died before I was born, said Terry Sue. Exactly. Exactly. Revelation 19, verse 9, says that we will be enjoying feasting. Feasting that we could have never imagined. So we will be eating. Will we have to eat? No, we won't. Isn't that weird? You won't have to eat, and you won't know hunger. You will enjoy eating because you are feasting for and with, yes, I said with, the Lord. That's Revelation 19:9. So we will be eating, and guess what? In Isaiah 25:8, it tells us that God will make the menu. God will provide not only the food for us to enjoy, not because we need it. Again, we are fully sustained in God. But because God is giving us the blessing of this, and we'll be eating together at the table of God. And it says in Isaiah 25:8 that God will prepare the menu. Imagine that. God, the ultimate chef. Here you go. Here's your meal. And it will be a heavenly meal. In Revelation chapter 15, it tells us that yes, we will be singing, worshiping, dancing, enjoying great music and harmony, and worshiping God during all of it. During the eating, during the dancing, during the singing, worshiping always. Everything we do will be in thanksgiving and worship to God like he wants us to do here, in which we fall short of every single day. Revelation 21:3 tells us that God will be on earth with us, not this earth, the new earth. And he'll be dwelling with us, walking with us, eating with us, teaching us, loving us, and comforting us. How great is that? Ephesians 2:7 lets us know that he will be constantly showing us kindness. And not only showing us kindness, but showing us how to give nothing but kindness. Revelations 6:9-11 tells us that we will be learning from him constantly, still in heaven, still learning, and Jesus will be our teacher just as he was on earth. And we will be celebrating with him during this teaching constantly. So when we're at the table eating and feasting with him, we'll also be learning. We'll also be worshiping. We'll be singing with him always, and with each other, and with the new people that we meet, and with the angels. Again, no, you will not be an angel. You know that old thought process that when you die, you grow wings and you become an angel? That's not true. It's not what the Bible says anyway. Can you sing happy birthday to TJ? Her birthday was the 15th. Well, of course I can. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear TJ. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Matthew 8:11 tells us that we will be feasting with him. Think about that. Yesterday, I got to feast next to my earthly father after we prayed and gave thanks for that meal to my heavenly father. And sitting there eating with my dad was such a blessing to me. But think about God sitting at that table with you. Think about that. We will have incorruptible bodies, and we will have a whole new condition of our new bodies. And that, in 1 Corinthians 15:53 through 57, tells us all about our incorruptible, non-hungry, non-hurtful body. Our bodies will be made perfect the way they were intended to. Good to see Chris Green in the chat. Big shout out to Chris and Julie. We're definitely going to be having some time together with them in the future. Revelation 19:10 says, we will be alongside angels. Not angels. We will be alongside with angels. So, the Bible tells us specifically, clearly, in a couple different verses, and I believe it was in John, where John was talking about falling down and worshiping the angel, and the angel kept telling him, get up, don't worship me, worship God only. So that tells you that there's a very clear separation between us and angels. That's Revelation 19:10. Revelation 21:5 says everything that we see will be new. Everything. There will be no reason, no desire, no want, no rhyme, no anything that'll tell you to look back. Kind of like when he said to Abraham, don't look back. Right? So, everything we see will be new. We will dwell with Jesus. We will dwell with God. Jesus will be our teacher. We'll recognize one another, not have the same feeling towards one another, but more of a brother and sister in Christ love towards one another. And we will have numerous, can't even count, new friends. I'm all for new friends. We will have jobs. We will have duties. We will have responsibilities, and we will learn. So, now let me go back and read today's description. New adventures are fun. Sometimes, even scary. The unknown is always a little scary. Hey, Al Jacobs has a birthday today. Thank you for the donation. We got to sing to you too. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, L. Jacobs, and everybody else whose birthday I might have missed. Happy birthday to you. The unknown is scary. So that brings us to death. Pretty forthcoming, right? I know. However, we aren't fearing the unknown when with life after death. We actually have a perfect description of what it's going to be like. So why should we fear death if we have a perfect description of what heaven is going to be like, what life after death is going to be like? Now, yeah, we can fear leaving here, but it shouldn't be a fear. It should be a little bit of a, you know, oh, I'm going to miss this place so much, but I promise you, you won't. I promise you, you won't. You won't miss this place. Everything that you see, you won't want to turn back and look at this place. I can tell you that. Everything that you feel, you won't want to turn back and think of this place. I can tell you that. And you know that you'll have jobs, you'll have duties, you'll have life, you'll have friends, you'll eat, you'll feast, you'll sing, you'll dance. I mean, come on, folks. Why should we fear that? Why should we be scared of that? Jeremy, does your dad watch LFA? He's going to really start now. I brought him to the studio yesterday, and he just couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. And you know what he said to me on the way out? Patted me on the shoulder. Something I've been wanting to hear from my dad for 44 years. He said, "Well done, son. Well done." Now, if I wasn't a faithful man and didn't have God in my life, and my father said to me, "Well done, son," I would have bursted out in tears and hugged him and never let go. But because I am so used to hearing it from my father in heaven, "Well done, son," I basically kind of smirked up to God and said, "Thanks, Dad." But I smirked up to him and said, "Thanks, God." I needed that. I didn't really need it in the grand scheme of things, but I did need it here on earth. It was a great feeling to know that my dad, who used to hate me, who used to think that I was a worthless nothing, pat me on the shoulder and say, "Well done, son." And he's in here taking pictures of the studio and, "Oh, I'm going to post this and I'm going to post this on Facebook." And come on, man. "Well done, son." Nothing's better. That's right, River Rat. "Come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day." All right. It is a Monday, isn't it? And we do have a comfort video to show on Monday, don't we? Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ray
Ian,
Comfort.
Got your phone out and show me something on your phone. What did you show me?
I showed you that I've been listening to the Living Waters podcast since episode 0.
So how many have you listened to?
232.
Oh boy, those guys are crazy. I'm the only sane one on that program, but do you enjoy it?
I love it, yeah.
The format's kind of weird, isn't it? We have 10 minutes of insanity and then we go serious, but people seem to love that format. Oh, thank you for that. Do pray for us. We want that to explode right across the world and be translated into other languages, because we think it's a unique format and we have something to offer the church and non-Christians. How long have you been a Christian?
I'm going to make a year in May 13th.
And what brought you to Christ?
The gospel.
Yeah, you heard the gospel and understood it for the first time, huh?
Yeah.
And you understood your sins and you understood what God did through the cross.
Yes, thankfully. I always think about just how wonderful it was to receive the gospel and receive it in faith. And ever since that day, I knew I couldn't let go anymore. I surrendered my life to Christ and it's been amazing.
Yeah, he changes you on the inside, doesn't he? That's what people don't realize. He causes you to do the things that he wants you to do. So you have an instant hunger to read his word and obey his will, and you love life and you want to reach the lost. Is that what you want to do?
Amen, yes.
Thomas, you just said something that made my ears perk up a little. You said that you were training or wanting to be a priest, a Catholic priest.
Yeah, I would go every other Wednesday. I meet up with a priest and we would talk about it, because I was so extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers, as Paul says. So the day I received the gospel, because I felt like a heavy burden in my heart, I would ask questions to my mom, because I would read my Bible, and I would tell her, like, Mom, if Jesus is the only mediator between like God and man, why do I have to go to a priest? And then she would give me like a silly answer. And then when I received the gospel, I knew it was true, and because that's what I would see on my Bible, I just would deny it because I was scared of I think it was just pride. And so I told my mom, I don't know, it was weird. She started crying and she started telling me, oh, I've been praying for you. She was like, I've been praying for you. And she was like, so if this is what God wants, then that's good. But then afterwards, she was like, you have to be a Catholic again. She would start getting so mad at me.
Things come right between you and her?
Yeah, I've shared the gospel to her.
Like I witnessed to a lot of Catholics, put them on a YouTube channel, and I get absolutely destroyed by Catholics saying, you hate Catholics. I say, no, I love them. I want to see them in heaven. They've got to be born again. And they say, you talk to Catholics that are not catechized. I say, no, these are Catholics who are unsaved because they're not trusting alone in Christ. They're caught up in a church system rather than simplicity of the gospel. So it's delightful to hear that God got a hold of you, and you witness to your mom?
Yeah, I've witnessed to my mom a couple of times.
So what's the difference between a Catholic and a Christian? Did you know that the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ? Did you know that?
I did not know that. I mean, I'm really into the Bible. I'm a Catholic myself. And I those are some of the things that I wasn't really, like, informed about.
Have you ever heard the Bible verse, the wages of sin is death? That's the first part of the same verse. I'll give you the whole verse. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know you can't earn a gift? Did you know that? It's impossible to earn a gift. If I say, Noah, I've got a Lamborghini for you, it's a gift, and you say, no, I'm going to give you 10 cents. It's no longer a gift, it's a purchase. So how can your sins be forgiven?
I go confess my sins.
Who to?
To a priest.
Do you know what the Bible says about that?
I don't.
Do you ever read the Bible?
No.
It tells you how to get everlasting life, and it's very simple. Most people think they can purchase eternal life by being good, or by doing religious works, or being part of a certain church. But the Bible says no, a gift can't be earned. It comes by God's amazing grace. To understand the good news, I've got to share the bad news with you. I've got to share with you what it is that's going to cause your death and what can be done about it. Are you interested?
Yeah, I would definitely be interested in
that. Okay, we're going to look at the first part of that verse, the wages of sin is death, and it's going to make you feel uncomfortable. Can you handle that?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Do you think you're a good person?
Yes.
How many lies have you told in your life?
I would say at least 1,000.
Ever stolen something?
Yes.
So you're a lying thief?
Yes.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
Do you love your mum?
Yes.
Would you ever use her name as a cuss word?
No.
Of course not. That would disrespect her, because you respect your mum. But you don't respect the God that gave you a mum. You've taken his holy name and use it as a cuss
word. It's weird why they laugh.
Do you know godly Jews won't even speak God's name? It's so holy they won't write it down. And you've taken it and substituted it for human excrement to express disgust. That's called blasphemy, Noah, punishable by death in the Old Testament. Feeling uncomfortable? I told you would.
Wow.
Here comes the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. But listen to what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Mm-hmm. I say to you, whoever looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Mm-hmm. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Like with lust, like...
When did you last look at pornography?
I haven't.
When did you last look at pornography?
My friend showed it to me.
How long ago?
I would say like my senior year last year.
Yeah, that's lust.
Oh.
And it's committing adultery in your heart. When the Bible says the wages of sin is death, it's saying that God is paying you in death for your sins. Like a judge looks at a criminal that's committed multiple murders, and he keeps saying to the judge, I'm a good person, judge, I really am good. The judge says, I'm going to show you how serious your crime is. I'm giving you the death sentence. This is your wages. This is what we're paying you. And Noah, sin is so serious to a holy God, he's given you the death sentence. You're on death row. God's going to put you to death for your sins. Your death will be evidence to you that God is deadly serious about sin. So if you're guilty on Judgment Day, if you've earned your wages, will you go to heaven or hell?
Honestly, I want to go to heaven, but I feel like if I'm not good enough to go to heaven, so I feel like he would just send me on hell.
Yeah, the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no blasphemer, no adulterer will inherit God's kingdom. So can you see you're in big trouble?
I definitely can't see I'm in big trouble, but I don't know if I could cleanse myself by confirming to...
Cleanse yourself? How do you do that? How do you cleanse yourself? What are you going to do? Wash yourself with water?
I know that I had my opportunity to cleanse myself when I baptized myself. That's when I ended up clearing my sin of, you know, just being born and stuff like that.
No, you can't cleanse yourself. It's impossible.
Really?
Yeah, really. Remember, the gift of God is eternal life. You can't earn everlasting life by anything you do. Now, here's a big question. What did God do so we could have everlasting life?
He sacrificed himself.
Yeah, he sacrificed himself. So, Noah, how can that help you 2,000 years later? You're under God's wrath. You're heading for hell. How could the suffering death of Jesus on the cross help you? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
Okay, that brings us to the gospel. And Dante, if you can get a grip of this, it'll change everything for you. The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus paid the fine. That's what happened on that cross. That's why he said, "It is finished." Just before he died, he was saying, "Paid in full." If you're in court and you've got speeding fines, a judge will let you go if someone pays those fines. He says, "You're guilty, Dante. You've got a lot of fines here, but you can go because someone's paid them. And it's legal. He can let you go." Well, God can take the death sentence off you. He can let you go because Jesus paid the fine on the cross, rose again on the third day, and if you'll just simply repent and trust in Jesus, God promises he'll grant you everlasting life. Repentance is more than confession. It's actually when you turn from sin, you continually walk in repentance. And then you trust in Jesus like you trust a parachute. Is this making sense?
Yes, it is. I'm really grateful.
Okay, I'm going to give you an In-N-Out card for yourself and some for your friends. $5 In-N-Out cards. How about give me a smile? That's great to see. What sort of music do you listen to?
Usually I listen to 80s music and to a band called Ghost.
Is it heavy metal?
Yes. How do you know?
Something's stolen your joy. And God wants to restore the joy, and those heavy metal groups are usually anti-God. If you look at the lyrics, they'll try and kill any faith you've got in God. So if I were you, I'd pray about the music you're listening to and then get some good Christian music. There's some wonderful Christian music that'll build you up and not tear you down. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Okay. Nice to meet you, man.
It's nice to meet you too, sir.
Wow.
So when are you going to get right with the Lord? Don't feel pressured by me. Feel pressured by common sense. This is your life we're talking about. It's not just your eyesight or your hearing. It's not what you're going to do for a job or who you're going to marry. This is your forever. So there's a real battle going on for you at the moment. Satan doesn't want to let you go. He wants to hold on to his own. But that isn't God's will. So what are you going to do? When are you going to ask God to forgive you and trust in Christ?
I'll try to ask for forgiveness as soon as I can.
Today?
Yes.
You don't need a priest. You can go straight to God.
Oh, I don't need a priest?
No, you can go straight to the Lord. This is what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You go straight to God through Jesus. There's one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. He's the Savior. He's the intermediary. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So can I pray with you?
Yes.
Father, I pray for Noah. Knows he sinned against you. May today he be truly sorry for his sins and find a place of biblical repentance and put his faith in Jesus and pass from death to life because of your kindness, not because of his goodness, but because of your goodness. And Lord, may he have a hunger and thirst for righteousness and be born again with a new heart, new desires, with the knowledge he has everlasting life, all because of your amazing grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let me grab you a book I've written called Scientific Facts in the Bible, and I'll give you a Gospel of John.
So, ladies and gentlemen, what a great, always a great video by Ray Comfort. Always, always, always. Anyway, I want to kind of take you out the same way that I, the same way that I bring you in, and that's with some great music, folks. Look, I love you guys. Remember, Heaven is going to be amazing. You're not going to be bored. And you're going to have the greatest experiences for eternity. And you'll never stop learning and worshiping. Mike Crispy comes up next here on Live from America TV, LFA TV, here on Rumble. And after that, of course, 2 hours of Live from America, my show, for 2 hours. God bless all of you. Keep the gospel first place. See you later.